Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And I trust that you are well, that the Lord is keeping and watching over your life. So we were able to conclude the book of 1 Corinthians. And today we shall be able to look at the book of 2 Corinthians. And we shall start in chapter 1. Now, the letters, these are epistles. These are letters that are written to the Corinthian believers. And one of the things that we established that this is actually, in essence, the third letter that he writes to the, you know, to the Corinthian church. But, you know, those that collected the writings were only able to give us two. But this is the second letter, and it is a continuation of the first letter. Remember, in the first letter, Paul had addressed quite a number of issues, the Corinthian churches. The churches were full of utterance, they were full of knowledge, but they were still immature. There was still a lot of divisions among themselves. There was a lot of fighting among themselves. Who is greater? Others following Paul, others following Apollos, others following Peter, and others following Christ. And Paul has to address these issues. Is that gentleman who was sleeping with his father's wife, and he had to address that concern, asking the church to hand the man over to Satan so that he might be saved, that his soul might be saved, and that he goes through that punishment and sorrow. And he is able to teach about order in the church, about dressing, about women, speaking in church, you know, about how to do Holy Communion. He's able to teach about the gifts, spiritual gifts, how to exercise them in love. He's able to give guidance on marriage. And each and everything that Paul addressed in the first book is a lot. And now when we come to the second book of Corinthians, or the second letter, according to the Bible, then we are able to see Paul trying to still address the church, still to give them his letters. Remember, as we close 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we were able to see that Paul had desired to go and see them twice on his way to Macedonia. And then he said that a great and effective door had been opened for him, but he had many adversaries. But he decided to do that, but he had told them that, you know what, I'm going to do it God willing. God willing, if I am able to, then I am going to do it. However, he was not able to, and he also has to apologize for that, and this is what we're going to see. So let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. So he was writing this letter, him and Timothy, I believe, was helping him to write the letter. And he says that to the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in all Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. Now, I want you to understand, when Paul starts to write to the Corinthian church, he's trying to tell them that, you know what, there is a comforter. There is a comfort that comes from God that supersedes any comfort that we can get from man. And he's trying to tell them that, look here, I know that you are going through tribulation, and we too ourselves are going through tribulation. The churches in Corinth, Paul himself in Ephesus at this point, he was still going through suffering. You know, he had spoken about many adversaries. God had given him a great door. There are times he's beaten. There are times he goes to a city, he's stoned, and he has to be raised from the dead, the believers going around him. But one of the things that he recognizes is that, as what Jesus said, in this world you shall face trouble, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So there are times that we need the comfort of the Lord. Comfort is something that is needed. And you see, he says that, I know that you are partakers of suffering, you are partakers of trials. And he says, for the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so also our consolation also abounds in Christ. That means there are things that we will find that we suffer for the sake of the kingdom of God. You know, whenever we bring the gospel to people, there's always two responses. There are those who will receive the gospel, but then there are also those who will reject it. And those who reject it can either walk away, beat their chest, or there are those who will actually turn on you and you know, express violence, either beat you, kill you, or even just speak negative things against you. And these are the sufferings that Paul was going through, and also the Corinthian church were facing. And he's telling them that we have a Father. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. We don't find comfort in alcohol or in drinking, you know, or comfort from men, but the comfort that we receive, the comfort that we have, comes from the God of all comfort. And no matter what suffering we face, no matter what persecutions we are facing, it might be trials in our own bodies, it might be trials, you know, of sicknesses that are buffeting us one after another. You are told you have this, you are told you have this, you are told you have this. But you see, in all these things, there is a God of all comfort that knows your pain. The Bible tells us he knows every tear that we cry, that he has placed our tears in a jar, that God knows any pain that we go through. Maybe it is a pain of losing a loved one. Maybe it is a pain of sickness. Maybe it is a pain of betrayal. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Even brokenhearted, God is able to mend. Why? Because he is the God of all comfort. And he tells us one thing, that even as the sufferings of Christ abound, as the suffering, that means that it is not just the trials that Jesus went through, but also we who have chosen, you know, to pick up our cross daily, to deny ourselves, to go after him, there is a suffering that we face. There are trials, there are pains, there is fighting of wild beasts, you know, there is going through fastings, there are sicknesses, there is being spat on, there is being betrayed, there is being abandoned. He says that if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation. That means with the increase of suffering, God also increases the consolation. God also increases the comfort. I tell you, each and every time you suffer for the kingdom of God, when you look deep down, when you hear his voice, God is with you. In fact, Paul is told by Jesus that my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. For when you are weak, then I am strong. Many times when we go through sufferings, it is very easy to question God and to ask God, where are you? What has become of me? I look forsaken. Jesus cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me? Sufferings, when sufferings come, we can easily lose our faith. And I tell you, at times when suffering comes, it bears on us. And if you've lost your faith, just know it happens even to the best of us. We lose our faith from time to time. But you see, there is a word that comes from God that is able to bring you back to hope again. There is a spirit of comfort. He is called Parakletos, the Comforter, the one who is with you, the one who has promised to never leave you or forsake you, the one who is going to be your shield and portion, the one who is going to guide and direct you. He is the God of all comfort. And I tell you, if you are afflicted, and Paul says, now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also endure. When suffering comes, we are called to endurance. And when you go through suffering, just know it is not just you that is suffering. All the believers in the world are going through the same suffering. And God is calling us for patience, endurance. Think of our Lord and Savior. He scorned the shame. He looked unto the joy for which was set before him. He endured the shame of the cross. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We have an example that we can follow. We have an example that we can look to. We have an example that we can trust. We have a Lord and Savior who is calling us to endurance, who is calling us to look unto him for his comfort and consolation. And Paul assures the church that, you know what, our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the suffering, so also you will partake in the consolation. Verse 8, he says, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Paul is saying, look at it, the apostle, the great apostle, he's saying that they were burdened beyond measure, that they faced suffering, that they even despaired beyond life. They almost gave up hope of life. In fact, he says, verse 9, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Paul is saying that they were burdened so much that they had the sentence of death. Maybe you've received some reports from the doctors that are giving you a sentence of death. But I'm trying to tell you today that you can know that there is a God that raises the dead. The same Spirit, if the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives inside of you, it will bring life and bring life to your mortal bodies. We believe in the power of the resurrection, that same Spirit that gave life to a dead body, to the dead body of Jesus Christ, after 3 days, that same Spirit lives in us, and it gives life to our mortal bodies. And even as I speak life to your cells. I speak life to your organs. I speak life to your blood system. I speak life to your kidneys. I speak life to your livers. I speak life to your pancreas. I speak life to your bones. I speak life to your health. I speak life to your brain, to your heart, to your inner man, that you are healed. You receive the healing of the Lord. Don't give up. Yes, you are burdened even to the point of death. Yes, there is a sentence of death. It may be cancer. It might be whatever condition that the enemy may have listed. But we have a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven and on earth, in this world, in the age to come, everything that has been named, we have a name that is higher than that name. and at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven and on earth and under the sea or under the earth shall bow to the name of Jesus. I assure you, you have been delivered. We have been delivered. God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us. That means that Paul is saying they were delivered from such a great death. But even continuously, he does deliver us. God continues to do so. It's a present continuous tense. We are constantly under the deliverance, the protection, the healing, the comfort, the strength of God. And he says, who does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. What peace and what hope can you have in God? That you know what? It doesn't matter what trouble we are facing, what trouble we shall face tomorrow, what trouble we have faced in the past. We are sure without a shadow of doubt that God delivered us in the past from a great death. He's delivering us at the present and even in the future. He will still deliver us. And he says, you are also helping together in prayer for us, and that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. You see, there are many sufferings that Paul went through. And inasmuch as he does not list the kinds of suffering that he went through, we know that he went through so many sufferings. Have you suffered? Have you been given a sentence of death? Have you been given sicknesses, a list of sicknesses? Have you lost a loved one? Do you feel that you're in despair? We are in good company, because these are sufferings. They are filling up our sufferings in Christ. We are partakers of the sufferings of Christ. But also, as we partake in those sufferings, we meet the God of all comfort. And I pray this morning that the God of all comfort will comfort you. May the peace that surpasses human understanding surround you. May the shield of love be around your inner man, be around your heart. May the peace of God guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. May you be protected, shielded, covered, strengthened. Walk in love, walk in encouragement, walk in comfort. The Lord of all comfort is your portion. He is with you. And Father, I thank you for your children. I thank you for your word that has gone forth in power. And Lord God, you know the troubles of your children. You know what they're going through. You know the broken heart. You know the meaning of loss. You know the meaning of divorce. You know the pain and emptiness of being heartbroken, of being stolen, of being attacked. Oh God, you know these are the sufferings that your children are undergoing. Oh, you know the loss of a loved one, oh God. But I speak a word of comfort. May your comfort prevail this morning. May your grace prevail. May your heart prevail. May your strength prevail. May healing come from on high. May power come from on high. May wisdom come from on high. May anointing come from on high. May the grace of God come from on high. May wisdom and power and strength come from on high. Hallelujah. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is mighty. Be exalted, be magnified, be lifted up on high. We thank you and we give you glory. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shalom. Blessed. Blessed. Day ahead.